If you have a Bible today, turn to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a preview of where we're going or what the theme of this year 2020 is going to be, which I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, rooted in Christ, which comes from Colossians 2. We're going to actually be taking a look at the book of Colossians starting on that same Sunday, February 14th, and we're going to be going through it probably for a good chunk of the year. I've never done this before. I've done lots of book studies for messages on Sunday mornings, but never for an extended period of time like this. But I really felt this impressed on my heart by the Holy Spirit that this was something that will be of great benefit and encouragement to us as we've come out of this previous year because of the reason and the purpose that Colossians was written about to begin with, which we'll look at here in just a moment. But if you have your Bible or your app, follow along. I'm reading, this morning from the New Living Translation just because of the way it translated a few things. I liked it, so I'm going to read from that starting in verse 1. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am telling you this so that no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. As I've been doing for several weeks, I want to do again just on those last couple sentences there, verse 6 and 7, I think it is. I want us to read that together. It's up on the screen. Even if you're joining with us at a different time or at home or somewhere, if you can, look up at that screen and let's just say this out loud together. Something great, unifying, as we've been so scattered and disrupted this last year, to read this together wherever you are, all together at the same time. Let's start with, and now, go ahead. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. So many good things in Colossians, so many relevant things for us right now. And I want you to know my heart is very similar to Paul's. In fact, I included the first few verses before those key verses there that we just read together because I felt the same thing that Paul feels where he says, I want you to know how much I've agonized for you. And to be honest, there's been a lot of agonizing for you as our church, from me, from our staff, over this last year. It's unbelievable to think that there are many, maybe even still to this point, a majority of our church who I got to see regularly and connect with when you would come on Sundays that I haven't seen in a year. I was having lunch with a friend this week. He's got various family members that have some serious physical conditions, which has prevented them from returning at all yet. And he says, I drive by the church and it just pains me every time I drive down Middle Street because it's like it's not my church anymore, even though it is my church and they watch every week. And he's like, just hurts to drive by and not be able to make that connection. Let me just tell you, that agony, we feel it too. And I felt it all year, agonizing just for missing you. Someone came up this morning and gave me a hug and, you know, is it okay? I'm like, yeah, it's okay. And they said the same thing as I've said several weeks ago. You just miss hugging people. You miss saying hello to people. And for those of you who have not been able to return yet, we miss you. And like Paul, I just feel the same way. I agonize of our disconnect and our separation from not being able to be together. And our staff feels that same way. You know, we'll talk about this more in the weeks to come. There's a lot of studies that are just coming out now about the church. Some of them estimating that the church will only return after all of this, whenever returning is, that it would only return at nearly 50% of its attendance before all of this. Wow. Between 1 in 4 and 1 in 5 pastors right now are quitting the ministry. It has been a difficult time, but really, most of that just comes from the fact that that as staff and as pastors, we just miss being with you and connecting with you. And so first of all, know that we love you and that we've really missed you and we feel like Paul is saying here. But I also want to say what Paul said, his kind of three charges he says here is, number one, he says, I want you to be encouraged and knit together by the strong ties of love. I want you to be encouraged. Church, I want you to be encouraged as we go into 2021. You're not going to hear me say today, and I think this is a beautiful thing, but you're not going to hear me say much details and physical structure of what we're going to be doing in 2021. Why? Not because we're keeping a secret, but because the world is keeping it a secret from all of us. We don't yet know exactly. We have some thoughts and some plans, but we don't know a lot. But right now, I don't know that that's more important. More important than what we're going to be talking about today and staying steady to who God has called us to be as a church. But despite all that, I want you to be encouraged. There's no reason for us to be discouraged. We're going to have those times that come and we're going to have to process through those things, but that's what Paul's saying. In the midst of a difficult time for this church as well, stay encouraged because of Jesus. Stay encouraged knowing what God has done for us in Christ, that he's going to continue to do that, that he is not far from us. So stay encouraged, and one of the ways you do that is by being knit together. Oh, we'll look at that later as we come to that chapter in Colossians, but it's a beautiful, beautiful, powerful understanding of this Greek concept of being knit together, being woven together, interlocking together. And so that's so important for us, even though we've been disconnected. We'll talk about this in just a moment, but he's saying constantly work at staying together and staying connected. And we can do that despite whatever protocols or regulations are out, as we will talk about. Number two, he says, I want you to be confident. I want you to have complete confidence in God's plan, though it's mysterious, because his plan really is Christ. And most of us feel that way at one point or another. I've had many conversations this year. I just don't get it. I don't know what God's doing. I can't see him working. Where is he? What is going on here? I can't believe that God would allow something like a pandemic or whatever else it might have been this year to happen. And there's just a lot of God's plan that is mysterious to us as humans on earth right now because we don't have full understanding. We don't have full revelation. We don't understand it all. But Paul is also saying, though, be confident in what is most important in God's plan. There are things that he has revealed to us in his plan, though we always kind of want to be people that can predict the future, because if we're honest, we like to be in control. But that is not always the most important thing. Certainly us being in control would not be a good idea in most cases. But what we need to know about God's plan, he has revealed. The Bible says that he is for you and not against you. That's what he says in Romans 8, we talked about earlier this year. If God has given us his son Jesus and shown us his love through his death on the cross, what more could he hold back? There'd be nothing else that he's held back. We know that he's for us. We know that he's near to us, that he hears us, that he knows what we're going through. So there's a lot of God's plan that actually, I think the most important part of it is we do know. And so Paul says, you know, in that parts that are mysterious, like let that go, because when we focus on Christ, we know what is most important about God's plan, in whom all wisdom and understanding lies. And then lastly, he says, I am telling you this so that no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. Just like many people have been deceived by false prophecies and conspiracies this year, it was the same when Paul wrote this book to the Colossians. There was a lot of conspiracy and false prophecy and spirituality that was not real, and a lot of people were duped by it. And he says, man, I don't want you to get drawn away by well-crafted arguments and great ideas, but they're void of who Christ is and void of our focus and our trust and our belief being on him. And that's part of why I know the Lord wants to bring us here. There's a lot of interesting things that Paul is challenging to correct in beliefs and mindsets in Colossians because of what they were going through. And I think we'll find that a real great benefit for us this year. So be encouraged, be confident, and have good discernment. I mean, I can't say three greater things as a pastor right now to our church or to the church at large that we would know those things. And it all comes down to have a deep root system built on Christ, built on who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And so I think that's important for us as we go into this year, more important than figuring it all out and knowing what we're going to be able to do, but that we know who Jesus is and we stay true to who he has called us to be. I was thinking of this story as I jump into this. It was a gentleman named Rob Conrad. He was a football player for a few years for the Miami Dolphins, and he lived in Florida after retiring from football. And And he loved to go fishing, and he had a boat, and he was out one day, I don't know what day of the week it was, he was out around noon, and he was taking his boat, I think, to the Grand Bahamas, which he'd come out of the area of Boca Raton. This is not super familiar with Florida, I've been down in that area a couple times, real far southeast, and he had left, and he was heading towards the Grand Bahamas to get his boat fixed, and on his way, he decided to put his boat on autopilot and do a little troll fishing, and he was fishing, he caught a fish. He's reeling this fish in, and as he's getting close to it, his boat hit a wave because he wasn't paying attention, and it threw him from the boat. He was not wearing a life jacket. He said he knew better than this. He should not be fishing alone, doing something like that alone, but he was. But of course, as he fell in the water, even though he wasn't afraid of drowning that moment, his boat kept going. It was on autopilot, and it just kept going. He's 9 miles out in the Atlantic Ocean, and his boat is leaving him behind. All he can think about is his wife. He has 2 girls. He didn't want to die. He didn't want to leave them alone. And he said, even though I'm a football player, I'm not a great swimmer, which I would think for most football players, there's a little bit of mass that you're going against trying to stay afloat. But he said, you know, it was his athletic training and just his drive, his will that he had developed in sports that was what he began to think about. And because we're telling the story in his own words, the story, end of the story is that he survived. But it was an amazing, amazing story of survival. So he's 9 miles almost directly off the coast east of this Boca Raton area. His boat is leaving, and he starts swimming to shore. And he says he's getting bit by things. He's not sure. He sees a shark at one point. This started, you know, somewhere around 12 or 1 o'clock. It goes to nighttime. He is still swimming. After 5 or 6 hours, he thought, you know what? I think I can make it. He swam for, oh, it was like 16 or 17 hours. Unbelievable, and he survived. He pulls himself off up onto the shore, 4:10 in the morning, goes to the closest house that he can find, rings the doorbell, and collapses. And when he finally, you know, they come to and they get him, he's severely dehydrated. He finally asks them, where am I? And they said, you are in Palm Beach, just south of Riviera. Show a picture of him and his wife. Here he is at the news conference. He basically started by saying, I shouldn't be alive. And he just starts crying. And they're having to give him water while he's doing this news conference 4 days later. He was so dehydrated. But he was, after, you know, they started figuring this out after a day or two when he was recovering, they started talking about what actually happened. And this is what's so fascinating, why I'm sharing the story with you. Go ahead and show the map. They did a thing. Here's the cross. It's kind of the area where he fell out of the boat. And you could see the yellow line going to the Grand Bahamas where they actually found his boat a couple days later as it just kept going. But here's the deal. Look on the map. He ended up swimming to Riviera Beach, Palm Beach, 20-something miles north of where he was directly across. So instead of just swimming 9 miles back to shore, he ended up swimming close to, they think, around 24 to 25 miles because he was getting carried by, you know, the current and just drifting. And he had no idea. It was nighttime, and he's looking at the lights, and he's thinking the whole time he's heading back home to Boca Raton. Had he known that he was swimming 24 miles, he probably in his own mind and will wouldn't have made it. But he kept thinking, I'm close to shore. And he had no idea, as they tell you in the beach, he's just swimming and moving up north as much as he's moving west back towards the shore. Unbelievable story, even that he survived. And then he swam that long. He should get some sort of record. I mean, the guy deserves something, but it's incredible. Now, the reason I share this with you is that, let me read this verse out of Hebrews 2, 1. The writer here says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Human nature, I think for most of us, is to just drift and oftentimes not even realize it. Like they tell you, if you get caught in a rip current, you know, you don't necessarily swim just straight back to shore because you're getting pulled, you're getting moved, and you may not even know it, and you're going to end up swimming harder and longer than you were if you just swam with the current back towards the shore. And the writer of Hebrews is writing a lot. I told you before, a couple weeks ago, they're writing to warn this church a lot about drifting away from the person of Jesus, from the work of what Christ has done. And certainly talking about theology and having correct theology about who Jesus is. But we need to realize it's in just even in more ways. We don't want to drift away from what we know to be true about God and what we know to be true about Jesus. But we also need to realize that there's a lot of other forces in our life that cause us to drift. And when I think back over almost a year since we've just kind of had maybe what we used to call regular church, that there's the tendency and the temptation and just the reality that many of us have just caught ourselves drifting over this last year. A lot of the things that ground us, and I'm not just talking about attending church on a Sunday morning. Some of you who have not been back yet or online, you've watched faithfully every Sunday. But it's other things. It may have been a small group. It may be a connection point with some friends. It may be that your work really grounded you, and now you've been teleworking and trying to figure that out, or you've been working from home now, and that the kids have been now trying to do school at home while you're doing that. It seems just all these different things that kind of stabilized us, that maybe we found security in, a lot of those things have been cut, and we just find ourselves drifting. And maybe, like the writer is trying to warn us here in Hebrews, we need to be careful that we haven't maybe we haven't noticed it. Maybe it's been happening and we're not fully aware of how far we've drifted. And so I want us to really challenge, as I really talk about this message in 2021, that let's pay attention that we don't drift personally, individually, but as a church. I read a book early, I think it was in April. It was a book written to organizations about leaders that lead large organizations and how they survived post 9/11. They chose all these organizations that were greatly affected, airline industries and travel industries and all these different things that had to survive everything that happened after 9/11. And the subtitle was something like, you know, how businesses thrived in the midst of chaos and catastrophe. And I was like, well, that's a really good book for this year. And I'll give you the quick synopsis. It boiled it down to this, is the companies that thrived and continue to grow didn't necessarily come up with great creative ideas. Some did. It wasn't that they, you know, were so flexible that they were able just to kind of morph and change with everything. The bottom line was, those that survived and thrived stayed true to who they were and just kept plodding along and moving along, and they were not pushed by all the various forces. And we talked early on as a staff, I think back in April, May, and said, you know what, we are going to have to adjust. We're going to have to do certain things to keep our church connected, but we don't want to drift away from just simply who we are. And so today I want to talk about these four values. And we're just going to look at three today, and the fourth will be next week as Pastor Nate also shares about God calling him to Scotland. But we're going to look at these four values of our church and what we strive to do all the time, because we haven't changed. We've had to add some things. We've had to definitely, you know, morph them into some new things and create new opportunity. But who we are and what we're trying to do has not changed. And that to me is even more important than trying to even figure out or even tell you what events we're going to have in 2021. But I can tell you who God has called us to be and how we will continue to do that. And I think that's some of the most important things you can do in the midst of chaos and just craziness. Even as a person, maybe you go home today and think, who has God really called me to be? What are the most important things in my life, and am I staying true to those things? So there's four things we talk about all the time: connect, grow, serve, and go. And so we're going to look at those first three today, the first one being connect. Now, we are, you know, unashamedly, we talk about all the time that we are here to connect you with Jesus, that is the most important thing, is having a relationship with Christ, a personal relationship with Him. And we believe, even though we've looked at this last year and, oh, so many things that have broken our hearts that cause us concern and fear and anger, but we know that all injustice, all racism, all prejudice, all violence, all disunity, politically, culturally, ethnically, all of those things boil down to sin, which is a separation, a severance, being severed from our relationship with God, our world. I preached back in the fall when we were looking at this and looking even in Romans that even creation and its decay and its problems that our creation has is all a result of this brokenness and this severance that being severed in our relationship and our connection with God all the way at the very beginning in the garden. And so we're suffering that in our societies, in our communities, in our relationships, individually and collectively. Nature, the environment, all of these things have been affected. The Bible makes it so clear that the root of all of it is sin. And so we believe, and sometimes people say, how come we don't talk more about this issue or that issue and these different things? And we try to touch on them, but at the end of the day, though, we believe that political answers or social answers or you know, just even what we think would be wise answers or scientific answers, none of those things will fix the problem if at first we don't fix the fact that we've been disconnected from God, that sin has separated us from Him. Those are all great things, and God works in those things. He is involved in those things, but at the foundation, The reason we face all this is because we have a broken world disconnected from God. So our mission as a church, which will never change, is before we ever want to get involved in any of those things, we want to make sure that you know Jesus, you have a relationship with Him, that all of your hope and all of your life and all of your healing and all of your deliverance and anything you're facing, it all comes back to what is your relationship with Christ? What has He done for you to reconcile you to the Father? How is He involved in your life? Are you listening to Him? Are you paying attention to His Spirit? We want to connect you to God. But we also know that along with that, even though that is the most important and most foundational, that God has also called us to be connected together. So as a church, we want to connect you to Jesus and we want to connect you with each other. That's why we do different things from groups to connection track, to discovery track, all these different things, because we want you not just to attend, but we want you to be connected. Well, 2020 has created some real challenges to being connected. And we've wanted so desperately to try to help overcome those things. And I think we've done a good job in some areas. In other areas, we're working hard at it and trying to do better. One of the things we're focused on this year is care and connect. We've been talking to the staff a lot about this. We had to do a lot of pivoting, a lot of figuring stuff out in 2020 to make sure that things could continue with people not being here. And now we're really focusing on care and connecting, even creating new different groups and classes. By the way, I meant to mention this earlier if you didn't already get the messages we sent out last night. We're supposed to have an annual meeting today right after the service, and we rescheduled that for next Sunday. We were just concerned, as we've seen already today, with attendance in person that we wouldn't have as many people come out. So we're going to do that right after second service next week. And so if you hadn't heard that yet, we tried to get that out to everybody, but it'll be next Sunday. It will be available online as well, so you can go online and get that Zoom link and join us even if you can't be here. But that's part of what I'm saying is this care and connect. Everything we're doing right now is what we call hybrid, right? It's almost everything. And we're trying to get to the point where we do everything. But it's whether it's a youth group or it's a small group or it's a class, whatever, you can do it in person or you can do it online because we want you to stay connected. We want you to stay connected. Listen, there's a great verse, and I've honestly reserved it. I've waited. I wanted the time to be right, because it's so applicable to all of 2020, but I didn't feel like sharing it till now. Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. The Bible challenges us with this. For the best of my memory, I don't think I shared this last year. It says this, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I mean, the Bible says, don't give up. Don't develop a habit of not meeting. It is so much easier. I'll be honest with you, even those 2 or 3 months when I was filming on Thursday, and it was just, you know, going online on the weekends, even my wife challenged me, you're the pastor. Like, we need to go to a one church. We're going to do that. I'm like, the weather's beautiful. Let's go for a hike. I've never had Sundays off, right? And she's like, you're like one of those husbands that doesn't want to go to church anymore. I'm like, no, I really do. I mean, I just like take advantage of this for a month. It's easy to develop a habit to not do things, to not get up earlier, not take your family somewhere. It's so easy. And now you add a year to that. It's just so easy. But I've waited on this verse because I believe in what we've said for a year, that it's not about coming to a building on Middle Street, a certain structure, but it is just about being together. So we've done one churches, and we've done all different ways for you to stay connected, families gathering together. We don't have any official one church right now, but there's many of them still happening where people in the church that know each other gather together and just watch the service together from their house. That is wonderful and that is great, but I want to challenge us in this specific way, not just about returning to Middle Street, but as we look at this for a year, let's be honest. I don't know if you've been listening to the news. I'm sure you can't help avoid some of it. And I'm not going to go deep into this, don't worry, but let's just say this. What I've heard most of the time this last week in the news isn't so much about how, boy, the vaccine's here and it's going great, and pretty soon everything's going to be normal. No, in fact, what I keep hearing is this rollout hasn't gone like we expected. Things aren't going smooth as we thought, and there's a new strain coming out of UK. Well, that one we're not talking about now. The South Africa strain is coming, and it may not work. The vaccine may not work. They keep just like moving the finish line. But I'm thinking, even as this week goes by, maybe there's even something that's not right about us, at least us who are believers in the Lord, to say, you know what, maybe my life shouldn't all be about some particular finish line, so then I'll go back to what I used to do. But maybe I just think, God, maybe the finish line's not important, and I just need to keep my eyes on you, on the race that's marked out for me, not where this ends, but God, what have you called me to do and who to be? That has got to be more important, because what if nothing changes for another 2 years? Does God put his church on hold? Is it just services on Sunday morning and we don't do anything else? No. Look at the things you heard this morning. There's things continuing to happen, but again, it's not about particular events or coming to a service. It's how do you stay connected to Jesus and to each other, even if nothing were to change? Right? How do we do that? Don't stop connecting in 2021 with the Lord and with each other. That's why we have this hybrid system. I know for many of you, you're probably watching now, you maybe don't feel comfortable, maybe you work at a certain place, or you know, you have certain things going on in your own health or family members, and you don't, you know, it's not, you're not ready to come back. That's okay. Hear me challenge, I'll challenge both sides, but you can still be connected. We are committed to you as a church and as a staff to do almost anything and everything we do also online to keep you connected. So you know, don't just stay home or don't just watch the service by yourself. Find ways to stay connected in these different avenues and groups that we're doing. Even our membership class, it was so encouraging. 15 people in our connection class last week. It was awesome. And about a third of them were online. That's just called the new normal. We're not going to wait around for you know, new members. We're just going to do it and do it in both ways. Stay connected. But let me just give you something that the Lord put in my own devotional reading this week. I'm challenge some of us, myself included. Matthew 17, after Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the tax collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, this is not a tax for Rome or for the state, but for the church, the temple. He says, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, Peter replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak to him, because I think Peter said, well, sure he does. Yes. And Jesus immediately catches him and says, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others? From others, Peter answered. Then the children are exempt, Jesus said to them. But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line, take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. Interesting, even though our culture has certainly taken this to a ridiculous degree about not offending somebody. I get it, there's nuts, cancel culture and all that. But even Jesus himself said, you know what? If I don't have to offend somebody, why would I? Why would I offend them about something that's not even relevant to me and prevent them from hearing my message, which is so much more important, right? Do we need to pay the tax, Peter? Nope, we're exempt, but we choose to do what they're asking us to do because our message is more important than what that may symbolize. And let me just tell you, I'll just be honest, I don't think I've addressed this either in a year, so now it's the time. By the way, if you don't know, I mean, I hate wearing a mask just as much as any of you. My wife is always cold. She's always like, what's the temperature when we're going somewhere? Do I need a jacket? Yes. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's July. Yes, bring 2, right? I mean, it's just going to be cold. And I'm almost always hot, and that's why she married me, by the way. Yeah, just because I'm hot. But I mean, I'm always, yeah, oh, she's laughing really hard with the mask on. I can't even tell, but I know what her face is saying. Okay, so I mean, I just, you know, and early on, before they were fully required, I'm just giving you my honest story. I just like to take it off all the time, and the Lord really convicted me going through a store that I was just really acting arrogantly, not free like I thought I was. And the Lord really spoke to me about it relating for me in the sense of fasting. I hate fasting. Food. I like food a lot. And when I fast, inevitably someone invites me to lunch. There's great food being cooked, and I want to eat. That's kind of the purpose of fasting, is to remind your flesh that it's not in charge, but the Spirit is. Right? Jesus said to the disciples in the garden, your flesh is weak, even though your spirit is willing. You know, your flesh is so weak that even though your spirit knows what it should be doing or what you could be doing, your flesh is weak, and it ends up in its weakness running the show and doing what it wants to do. And I just want to challenge us that what if masks were required for who knows how long? Is that thing that has more to do with my flesh than my spirit going to be what controls me? Am I going to say it's a symbol and it's a token? Jesus already gave us the answer to that. I'm exempt. But my message is more important than what I think that those things may convey. They weren't required to do the temple tax. They were freed from all that and the sacrifices. But Jesus said the message is more important. than offending someone and missing the whole idea. And so my challenge for this is, and I love you, for some of you, and I know it's not a lot of you, but some of you are like, I'm going to go back to church once I don't have to wear that stupid mask. I get it. But should that be the obstacle of what God wants to do in and through you? Do you think God is saying, well, go ahead and take 2 years off, and then you can start telling, you know, you can start connecting with others and encouraging them, supporting them. There is people, whether here and other places, that need you and need us. And I just wonder sometimes, forgive me for being a little, step on some toes, but maybe the mask has just revealed that our flesh has been in control of our spirit a lot longer than what we realized. And the mask has just revealed that I just like to do what I like to do and do church on my terms. And that maybe the church is being revealed that, you know what, we're a little more carnal than what we realized. And that we let little things with our flesh control us more than what they should. That maybe our flesh, and whether it's our humanness, our sexuality, our relationships, my money, whatever it might be, maybe those things actually control my spirit more than I realize. Because when we fast, we begin to realize those things and we focus on the Lord. So I just took early on in the pandemic, when I wear a mask, I'm fasting. I'm telling my flesh to shut up. I don't want to wear this, but I can be obedient because the message is more important than that. I'm exempt. But I will go ahead and do whatever I can so that someone may know who Jesus is, if that's going to prevent that. And it's not going to hurt anybody by wearing a mask, but I might cause someone to move away or to get away or not listen to me if I don't. That's not worth the trade for a short amount of time for all of eternity. So I just want to challenge this as a church. What if that happens for another year? God does not want your calling and your ministry to be put on hold until all that changes. No, God's got things for you. Connect. All right. Number two, grow. Hebrews 12:1, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. There's this great challenge also in Hebrews to throw off all the weight and all the sin that entangles us. In 2021, let us not stop connecting, but keep connecting, and let us not stop growing. Let's keep growing. And one of the ways we do that is by cutting off all those things that are hindering our progress and hindering our walk and stopping us from growing. Strip it all off. There's been a lot of things that have been able to leech onto us this last year. You know, you've all been probably listening to this whole debacle with GameStop. Fascinating. I know there's lots that are going to be read and probably changes, and I mean, it's crazy on both sides, but not talking about that right now. If you know what GameStop is, my son could tell you, who loves it, right? They sell video games, right? And now's not the time to buy stock, by the way. What was it, $400-something after being 16? But listen, in 2020, I saw this other report. It says, while many industries have struggled during the coronavirus epidemic, the video game industry is not one of them. That's not the reason for their rise in stock, but global video game revenue grew by 20% in 2020, raking in, listen, $180 billion, according to market research by IDC. $180 billion. By comparison, that's bigger than the international movie market and the North American sports market combined. Video games. Unreal. An April survey by the group Parents Together found that kids were spending 50% more time online than they were before the pandemic. Yes. And that was just April. Well, we just got started, right? Every kid, at least around here, got a laptop and took it home, and their life became on screens, right? But it's not just kids' screens use that is absolutely surging. Let's not think it's all them, right? In late December, just a month ago, a one-poll survey of 2,000 adults that was commissioned by Vision Direct, listen, found that adults are now spending 17 hours a day on screens. 17. The survey broke down adult screen uses as this. On average, 4.5 hours watching TV. Dear God, if that was all politics. Woo, no wonder we're angry. 4.5 hours on smartphones. 3 hours gaming, not just the kids. And about 5 hours on a laptop. 17 hours. I may have spent an hour of video games in 2020 because I don't play them very much, and sometimes my son will rope me into it. I probably should actually play a little bit more with him. But I know myself, I've been sucked into watching more movies this last year, more Netflix or Disney Plus or whatever it might be than I have before. And it is real easy right now, in the midst of all this, to kind of think of a pandemic as like one glorified long snow day. But it is not. And again, if we just continue to think, well, when the finish line hits, I'll get started again, That's not the way that God has, that's not what he's called us to do. He wants us to keep growing. He wants us to keep moving forward. We have to fight that lethargy and kind of just wanting to kind of be lazy or kind of want to, you know, you just get stressed, you get full of anxiety. I just want to do nothing. I just want to veg. But God wants us to keep growing. He not only wants us to keep connecting, he wants us to keep growing. He wants us to be not like someone who is consumed with 17 hours of screens a day, though some of that could be good, I suppose. But listen, he wants us to be like that tree in Psalm 1, if you know that. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step of the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Let me tell you why I'm reading this. It relates, of course, but there's something that's saying here in Psalm 1:1 that it's a choice. It's not just that you found yourself that way, or oh, this is just what happened. But blessed is the one who makes a choice not to be with these sinners and mockers. So it comes down to this, responsibility. Blessed is anyone who makes the choice that I'm not going to waste my life and waste my days, but I'm going to choose to what? To look into the law of God, to open up the Bible, to meditate on his law day and night, to focus on him, to ask the Lord what I can be doing for him. That person will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prosper. That goes on to say, right, is that you're bearing fruit whether it's a good season or not. You're bearing fruit because your roots are down there and you're focused on the Lord and you're growing in him. As a church, let's not stop growing in 2021, okay? Let's keep connecting. Let's keep growing. In fact, it's your responsibility, but we're trying to do our best to make options for you, and our groups start in just a couple weeks. This is great. We have Alpha. There's a little handout if you're here in the chair pocket, or it's on the app or on our website if you're viewing online. And we have Alpha coming up, which is one of the greatest courses literally across the world in the last couple decades that just help people discover more about who God is and grow in the relationship, not be stuck. Learn how to hear God, how to read the Bible, learn how to pray, learn about who the Holy Spirit is, learn how to have discernment, wisdom, and good choices. Don't miss Alpha if you just need a place to just kind of boost and help you along and grow in your faith. Man, it is incredible. I love doing it each time. We're doing 3 prayer courses, groups. Right now is the time to learn how to pray. I felt so convicted by that I'm leading one as well as 2 others. There's one at night. There's 2 in the morning. Different prayer groups. The marriage course you heard about earlier. I think marriages need help right now as we've gone through all of this. GSM, Nate's leading 2 classes on systematic theology, which is just all this great practical theology about who God is, how that plays itself out in our life, and also the book of Revelation. We have different groups that are happening, life groups that teach you how to read your Bible, hear from God, community groups. Listen, stay connected and keep growing. I mean, cut down your 17 hours to 13 hours and join a group. Hopefully we're not all there at 17, but I just can't challenge you enough. You've got to take responsibility. There is the plan of God that we connect and we encourage and we support one another, but there's also the other side of that that's called codependency. And to some degree, the church has really revealed itself as a codependent relationship with a pastor or a church building, which is why probably only 50% will return, because they needed that to keep growing. They needed that to know who God was, and we're not made to do that. That happens with anything, anywhere, but listen, God says you can do this. You can get to know him and grow even on your own, but here's ways to help you and to keep challenging you. Lastly, this morning is to serve. To serve. 2 Thessalonians 3:6-13 says this, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. As for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good." Really simple message. Good challenge for us as a church. Keep serving in 2021. Keep serving. What was the challenge here that Paul was telling this church? It's interesting, too. This church was obsessed when Jesus was coming back. Obsessed. So much so that they're telling people not to get married. I mean, they had all kinds of things going on because they thought Jesus' return was that imminent. Right? And it's good to stay and be ready. But what's interesting is that while this church is thinking Jesus will come back at any time, one of their biggest issues that Paul mentions 3 times here in the end of 2 Thessalonians is stop being idle. They were so consumed that Jesus was coming back that it caused them to do nothing. He's like, no, that's not the point. That even though you are waiting for something, you're not sure when it's going to come, you stay on task that God has given you. And I want to challenge us. Let me just take a moment here as a church. I don't even want to assume because I'm not trying to do that. But if nothing were to change for still another year, we hope that that's not the case. What if it doesn't change? You think that God is just saying, like, you know, a year ago, hey, I'm going to give you a 2-year break on serving me? No. And I don't just mean in the church, but we'll talk specifically here. Like, there is ways for you. You know, Jerry, my wife was saying after a connection track, and I thought this was so good. I think it was totally the Lord. Just felt like God was speaking to her, is that we were talking about the dream team at Connection Track and how it really got started, and Chris really developed into a huge program that even got bigger when we moved here. But it started because we needed a new team of people to help us set up and tear down every week when we were at the middle school while we were building this building. And it became this moment, the dream team rose to make this happen while we were at the middle school. And Jerry just said, I feel like the Lord is saying that we need a dream team right now. It's like the pandemic dream team. I'm not trying to be funny, but it's real. That, you know what, we have new needs that we've never had before. There is anywhere from seniors to probably just normal person that doesn't know how to function with a computer, that doesn't know how to get on a Zoom call, that could actually, you could help them from home, stay safe if you don't even want to go out or you can't go out. You could actually help people stay connected. You know, our youth group the other night, our youth group's really been growing, and the other night they had a great group. A quarter of them was from Zoom, tuning into youth group, because for whatever reason, they're not back yet, they can't be back, whatever. Well, you know, you could actually be a youth leader right now from your living room and be a youth leader in the youth group and be it on Zoom and lead small groups. Do you understand? There's a whole new realm of possibility. And I don't think God is saying, well, I mean, wait for the mass thing to go away or wait for all this to change and then we can start serving and growing God's kingdom again. And no, God has not stopped. He is still moving. He is still looking. It says even in the Bible, to and fro, to show himself who he can be strong in. Who are the ones that are looking to be a part of what God is still doing? And I want to be part of that. I want our church to be part of that. I don't want us to hold back. And so I want you to contact us. I put Chris's email up here if you didn't know it. You can email her if you'd like to be part of the dream team. You could just email her because you just miss her and you want to get a hug, and I'm sure she would do that for you. You can click serve on our website and go there and see the different ways, but Chris can help you get connected. But you know, have you been reading the studies about suicide rate among young kids and middle schoolers especially, skyrocketing? All the shutdowns and all the schools not being open? Well, instead of maybe just complaining that the governor should do something differently, maybe you ought to be, I'm serious, maybe you ought to be a youth leader and help out with kids who are struggling right now, whether at our church or the various groups around town. I mean, Christians, we're always really good at saying what we don't like, but we oftentimes don't follow that up by that love of Jesus that he calls us to do. There's kids that are hurting. We've opened up our building now, not only to the college ministry, because they can't meet on campus, but to the various ministries that are taking place or used to take place on the college. Come use our building. That's why we did the Student Support Center. I got emails from parents that are like, my child, literally his life was changed because you opened up your building so my kid could come here and be tutored. And they were getting D's and F's, and now they're getting A's and B's. That's amazing. Yeah, we can have our opinion. I'm okay with that. But we can also follow it up with, how can we actually help? God has not called us to wait in our service until all this clears up, but what can we do now? Even if you can't come out, that's what I'm telling you. There's ways to be involved in the dream team virtually. There's great need for that right now. So just be thinking about that, whether it's from everything from the worship team to the kids department. Like I said, we couldn't do kids the last few weeks, not because we had any issues with COVID here, but because there's fewer people that have returned. There's a need just to help out with kids, and boy, they could use it right now. It's just it's an amazing time. Listen, there's Esther 4:14, famous verse. If you don't know the backstory, Esther was a Jewish young girl who ended up becoming the queen of this nation, and there was this evil man, Naaman, that wanted to wipe out all of the Jews. And Mordecai, Esther's relative, said, you need to go into the king and stop this and save our people. And she said, I can't do that. You have to be invited into the king. And Mordecai tells her this. I'll read this to you. He says, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. But who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. But you know what? That right now, that there is things in you and who you are online and in person, wherever you are, that God says, He has you here knowing his son Jesus right now in the middle of this crazy world of 2020 and 2021 for such a time as this. You have a calling. You have a purpose. And what is it? You don't have to wait for all this to pass by. We better not. There's things that God still wants to do. I want to challenge us to that. Would you stand to your feet? I'm going to close. I just added this late last night. This was on my heart all week, and I felt like the Lord wanted me just to end this way, and then we'll sing the song together. But there's this story in 2 Samuel 24. There was a plague that was going through the nation of Israel. And there's a long story to it, but part of it was some of the sin in King David's life and things that he'd done. And they were suffering the consequences of this. And he's praying, asking God for mercy and to stop this. And it says that this prophet Gad comes to David and says to him, "Go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunah, the Jebusite." So David went up as the Lord had commanded through Gad. And when Arunah looked up, he saw the king and his officials coming toward him. And he went out and he bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. And he said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" "To buy your threshing floor," David answered, "so I can build an altar to the Lord that the plague on the people may be stopped." Arunah said to David, "Lord, let my lord the king take whatever he wishes and offer it up. Here are the oxen for the burnt offering. Here's the threshing sledges and ox yokes for the wood. Your majesty, I give all this to the king." And he also said to him, "May the Lord your God accept you." But the king replied, "No, I insist on paying for it. And I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered his prayer in behalf of the land, and the plague on Israel was stopped. I'm not going to try to proclaim today, because I didn't feel like the Lord said to, but that there's a parallel between us and doing something and praying that the plague, the pandemic of COVID will stop. But I did feel like the Lord said that there is a parallel, that whenever his people become people that are interceding for those who are broken, who are hurting, who need help, and we not only intercede and pray, but we do self-sacrifice, that God works on their behalf, that God works through our self-sacrifice to the benefit and the healing and the deliverance of others. It's the pattern that Jesus set. He couldn't just say, "Yes, I'm Jesus, follow me." He had to go and die and live his life, be sacrificed and rise again. And now Paul says, we go and we do the same thing. That I really want us, in fact, if you'd close your eyes with me, even if you're watching online, whatever you're doing right now, let's close your eyes, and I'd even challenge you to lift your hands out in front of you. And Lord, I can't speak for everybody, but we position ourselves, and I pray that as a church, that we would take the posture of saying, "God, I'm willing to sacrifice myself. I'm willing to sacrifice some things that I would want or that I would desire. I don't want to bring nothing to the table, but Lord, I want to sacrifice for the sake of our world today, for the sake of what people are going through." God, I don't know what that exactly is for each of us, but Lord, may we be willing, like David, that says, I don't want a free ride. Like, I'm willing to do what it takes so that the plague would stop, so that people can experience deliverance, so that people's lives can be changed. Lord, use me in the midst of this. May I overcome my own preferences, my own desires, my own comfort, Lord, for the sake of seeing your kingdom be advanced, that people would know who Jesus is. Lord, use us as a church, not just to keep meeting together for ourselves, but even beyond that. Lord, that we would sacrifice our own desires and comfort for the sake that you would heal our world and heal our land. Bring deliverance, I pray, Lord, as we sacrifice ourselves for that. It is worth it. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's take that posture into 2021, knowing that God's going to use that to bless all those that are around us.